town supervisor of the great town of Islip. Always good to have her. She being Angie Carpenter. We say a very good morning, Madam Supervisor. It is great to have you as always.
Thank you so much. Really great. It's a great town. We're very blessed in the town of Islip with all of our wonderful natural resources and assets and our airport and our beaches and our shoreline and the ocean and Fire Island. It's a great town and beautiful little downtown.
It really is. How beautiful was it during Lights Out for the last 8 or 9 days for many of those fine residents? Tough deal there. I saw some pictures and plows and everything else all over the place. Islip suffered there, no question.
And, you know, we had been in a kind of prep mode about at least 6 or 7 days out when, you know, we're constantly monitoring the forecast when we get to this time of the year, especially hearing that we're going to have more hurricanes this year. So our DPW crews and parks crews were out there kind of batting down the hatches, making sure equipment was, you know, chainsaws sharpened and everything ready to go, drains cleaned out, pumped out so that they could take as much water on as possible because it was predicted to be, you know, quite a bit of rain, which we did not have. But the winds, oh my God. And the damage that was wrecked in just a short period of time, that was a pretty short storm in comparison to what some are when it's raining for hours and hours. Within, you know, like 2 hours, I mean, I was sitting in town hall and could see the trees swaying, and but it was really just about 2 hours in where I was in the town.
Yeah, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, Ange, and maybe I ought to alert the folks up at PSEGLI if I'm down south again for the next. I hope there isn't a next one. I hope there is not a next one. But if I am somewhere in the south, as I was back in early days of August when Asaias was forming and was about to have its eye on the Sunshine State, maybe I ought to alert the folks over at PSEGLI saying, you know what, she's turning and heading north. Beware. Hello. Check the communications. You know, maybe we should have a checkbox here as far as making sure everything is in sync. I mean, come on, please.
But with storm prediction, the only thing that's predictable is that it's unpredictable because it can veer off course at any given moment. So you really, really don't know. I mean, look at Southern Florida, barely got anything. So again, you try to prepare the best you can, but every storm has its own unique personality. And, as much as you prepare and you do the drills and everything, you just can't know. But once it hits, you know, kick into gear and do what you got to do. And we've been trying to do that in the town. Our guys were at the ready from the very beginning and, worked hand in hand with PSE&G because certainly we can't go down a road with trees down and lines down. We have to make sure the lines that are down are not live before we go start removing, you know, trees from the road. I'm happy to say that, as of Monday, late Monday, about 90, well, right now we're 100% clear as far as any debris blocking access to any road in the town. And we are in total pickup debris mode. Some has, you know, been picked up from, you know, with normal garbage delivery, but certainly those big limbs and everything that's laying there is going to be picked up by our DPW and parks crews who will be out there until it's done.
Angie Carpenter with us. You know, you mentioned lines. I think, and we'll move on to some other topics here in a second, but I think the thing that got me most angry, Ange, was the phone lines, you know, that people couldn't get through.
Yeah.
And even if they got through, they were told in such an arrogant way that they were not priority. I was reading a story this morning where you had a woman who was pregnant, 9 months, by the way. She finally had her power restored late yesterday, but she had been pleading with this utility to get her power restored. She was told she was of the lowest priority because her home on the road that she lived in Huntington was the only one in the area without service. So, you know, one agent actually told her, stay with you. Can you imagine the gall saying, you know what, maybe stay with a friend or a neighbor? You know what? Are we not in a pandemic? You know, we're in the midst of a quarantine here, genius. I mean, come on. I mean, this is these are the types of statements that I can't take. And they got, you know, somehow, to me, it's about customer service. It's always about customer service. That's priority. And let's face it. We pay the highest rates, third highest, actually, in the nation. We should get better service, without question. And you're not and sometimes it takes a storm. You know, you figure we didn't learn anything from Sandy after what I've witnessed the last 8 days. And we got to do better. Somehow we got to do better. I don't know how. We got to do better, though.
Well, I think the message got away from them, too. And like you said, communication is absolutely key. And customer service, customer service, customer service. I mean, we're in the customer service business in the town. We're providing services to our residents. And, you know, we tell people all the time, we have done some customer service type training for those that are on the phone. You tell people all the time, when you pick up that phone, even though they can't see you, make sure there's a smile on your face, because you come across differently when you're smiling than if you're scowling. And, you know, we're there to serve. And I am so pleased, you know, for the most part. And again, we're dealing with human beings and everyone has their challenges. No one has a perfect life. And, you know, sometimes you get up on the wrong side of the bed. But I have to tell you, for the most part, I have never seen in all of my years in government such a caring crew as we have in the town. They really want to make things better. They really, really do. And sometimes people can try your patience. You know, we're in an instant gratification society. We want everything now. We just, and as far as communication is concerned, with social media, you know, someone says something that's not appropriate, that message is going to go out there, because good news travels fast, but bad news travels faster.
You know, one thing on this storm, last thing for me, and I had Dan Eichhorn on last Friday, and I asked him, you know, isn't it about time we start burying these lines? I mean, around the country, I travel. And they are. Why not Long Island? And listen, we live in we're living in 19th century type times now. No, it's almost tough to see a pole with lines now. We're in the 21st century. And listen, I understand there's a cost. He said on the show, well, it's a cost. Well, isn't it a cost to spend $700+ million refurbishing outage maps and computers and meters and everything else? I mean, what's the difference here? Let's bury the lines and make it universal on Long Island so we don't have to go through this.
I know on one of the briefing calls that I was on, one of the electeds raised that point again, and the gentleman that was on, his name escapes me, said that they certainly are going to revisit it. And maybe it's a hybrid approach. Maybe what you do is anything going forward, any new construction, you know, lines have to be buried. And anything that needs to be replaced, then you bury it. But, you know, the thought of what the cost would be to bury every line that's existing now, I don't know that financially, especially given the times that we're in now with all governments struggling, you know, the county is, you know, really hurting. The state's projecting billions and billions of dollars worth of losses. You know, that would have to have some kind of grant assist for us to not have to put that all on the backs of the taxpayers or their ratepayers.
It just it would alleviate a lot of problems, because obviously,
absolutely.
If
there's a problem in a line that's buried, then it really costs you to fix it.
You know what? It's not even about aesthetics anymore. Now it's about saving dollars and hardships, because, you know, you just can't go through this again. We have so many trees on Long Island, old trees. I mean, you can't cut down every tree over a line. It's impossible. It would take you 100 years. But you can do, and you're right, from this point on, just bury the lines and even think about burying, you know, the existing stuff. I think you have to, really, Bill. Go ahead.
Yep. There's an awful lot that after this storm, there definitely is going to be a lot of debriefing meetings and looking at how things were handled and certainly how they could have been handled better. And I think that from everything I've heard, and I've been on a call every single day with PSE&G, they are ready to sit down and figure it out. So that's a little encouraging.
We'll see what happens. I know many people are asking for you think reimbursement, by the way, will happen? Food spoilage, medication? Do you think that is a reality that could happen?
I think that, again, maybe an across-the-board stipend, you know, a modest amount if you were out, you know, a credit on your bill or something. But the logistics of trying to reimburse people for what was lost and have them quantify, how do you figure out what you, you know, you had three steaks and, you know, a package of chicken and whatever, giving receipts, it logistically would be a nightmare, I think. But that's for other minds to figure out. Fortunately, that's not on my plate today.
All right, let's see what happens here. All right, let's move to some COVID stuff. Numbers are great, very low. The governor made the announcement last Friday regarding schools. Let's tackle COVID. Message has gotten out. Businesses still hurting here. You know, I'm looking for gyms now. I'm looking for gyms, Angie, to maybe, you know, get a little flexibility here and start opening up in a safe way. But go ahead.
Let's go back to what you said when you veered into the COVID discussion. You know, we're good now. I am so nervous that we're not going to stay good because as every day passes and the numbers are down, I'm looking at areas in our town where consistently every single day there are cases, more cases every single day. The hamlet of Brentwood, 4 to 5 every single day COVID cases. They're up way past 4,500 in that one hamlet of Brentwood. And other hamlets across the town, across the county, in Nassau County, in fact, the town of Hempstead allocated $2 million to Northwell to set up testing sites in their high case areas in Uniondale, in Freeport. So I sent a letter to the county executive about 10 days ago asking that he allocate part of that $257 million of CARES Act funding that he got directly to the county for COVID-related expenses to take some of it and set up testing sites in our hard-hit areas. The testing sites out in Stony Brook and the private, you know, entities around the county. But we need them in the communities. They set one up in Brentwood. It's down. It's been down for probably about 6 weeks. The county had reached out to the town and asked if we could provide some space, and we did. The rec center in Brentwood there on 3rd Avenue. But they took it down. And I really, really believe that we need to keep those sites in those areas up because it's not just doing the testing, but it's an opportunity to do education. And there are many communities where that message isn't getting out yet. I mean, people walking around without masks. You see it.
And that's the sticking point, some of the minority areas. Did they give you any information? When would that be up and running again?
I don't know. I'm waiting to hear from the county exec. I know I copied all the legislators on the letter, and the legislators that represent, especially I heard from Legislator Gonzalez. He was very supportive of the initiative, and he too wrote to the county executive. But the storm came, and they were in storm mode. So hopefully now that things are getting a little bit back to normal, we'll get an answer on that, and we can see that happening.
And we'll stay on top of that too. You know, to me, I'm happy to, you know, read with the testing, everything's, you know, the numbers and everything else look great within the state. It goes beyond that for me because it's not only about, you know, how many you're testing. I want the result. You know, I want a rapid result. You can't wait 7 to 10 days. It's ridiculous.
7, 10, 14 days. I had somebody, you know, call me yesterday who had to have a medical procedure and they required a COVID test. And, you know, they're going next week and they were told when they went with 7 days thinking that was going to be enough that they wouldn't get results for 14 days. So, you know, we were scrambling to try to find a location for them. But, yeah, you're right. The results have to be because someone goes to have the test and it takes 14 days. If they are infected and they're not going to quarantine, most people are not going to stay home until they get their test results, as they should. If they've got symptoms and they go to get their test, they should stay home, but most aren't. And then if they turn out to be positive and they've been walking around for 14 days, well, how many more people are going to get infected?
Tough deal, no question. You're listening to Angie Carpenter, Supervisor, Town of Islip. So with the numbers as low as they are in many an area here on the island, governor making the announcement, you know, guess what? You can open up the doors of the schools come September, providing there's plenty of provisions in there. Protocol to be followed. Were you happy with the announcement? Are you ready for your schools and the confines of your area to be open right after Labor Day there?
Well, they're all struggling with coming up with the best plan. I don't know that they're all going to be the same. And I think that's going to be a little problematic for people trying to juggle their lives. You know, if your child is going to school and you're working, you know, things work out pretty well. But if they're, you know, being homeschooled or virtual or on a hybrid model where they go 2 days and then they're home 3 days, that's kind of hard to juggle child care needs. So we're, you know, trying to be as supportive as we can to our workforce. We're actually doing a survey to see what the child care needs might be for employees if their children are going to be on that kind of a regimen for schooling. But it's tough. People, you know, I know in my own family, I have a grandson who's going to be 7, but he has asthma. So his parents are torn. Do they send him or not? You know, he would be considered high risk if he were to get it. So, you know, there are a lot of people that are, you know, pushing open the schools up 5 days a week, and there are those that are really, really nervous. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, I mean, not just hopefully, but we're going to have to come up with a plan and, you know, hope to God that it works. And we
you're right. You know, hopefully, you know, you got to make sure the teachers are happy with it. You got to make, I mean, there's a lot of discussions. They have to have 3 discussions, you know. Hey, listen, he's being stringent in his approach, but it's, you know, it also goes beyond safety. You know, kids can get this thing too. I mean, there's evidence around the country. We've cited some examples the last couple, but teachers, administrators, lunch monitors, they got to be okay with this thing. You got a lot of teachers are going to call it a day because, you know what, there's a health concern, there's underlying conditions. You know, listen, if you're a teacher who has 30 years, you know what, you don't need this anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Because in essence, you want your health is more important than anything, right?
Yep, it is. And then people have situations at home. You know, someone at home could be compromised, you know, sending the kids to school if they come home with something, maybe grandparents live in a household. You just don't know. As I said, everybody's got their own, you know, set of issues, and you have to deal with it. It's not a cookie-cutter approach. Not one size does not fit all. But, you know, Jay, you touched a little bit earlier on, you know, where we are with the economy and jobs, and I wanted to, if you don't mind, remind our businesses in the town of Islip that our IDA has set aside $250,000 for a loan and grant program for small businesses, and they can apply for a $10,000 grant or a $25,000 loan, and certainly it has to be related to COVID and what has gone on. The loan would be interest-free to be repaid in a year. The grant, of course, is a grant. So I urge, you know, everyone to please look at it. We've sent all the information out. It's on our website, and, you know, it's an opportunity to maybe get a little bit of extra help for the small businesses. And for those that are, you know, struggling with their job situations, because some people, you know, are now finding themselves in a position where, you know, is this, you know, going to work for me now, this particular field that I'm in. We have, for a number of years, provided a job boot camp, a job search boot camp, free of charge to our residents. And originally, we were not doing it this year, but we've decided to bring it in. We're going to do it virtual. Again, there's no charge, but it's a wonderful opportunity. It's done over a series of Wednesday evenings from 5:30 to 8:30. And there are seminars taught by professionals. We have a consulting firm from New York that does it, and they've got a tremendous success rate. We've had so many people, you know, really advance their careers, change their careers as a result of the boot camp. We had a really, really terrific success rate over the years. So I, you know, would urge everyone to consider that. It starts September 16th. And again, it's 3 hours and a series of about 8 weeks, I believe it is. And it's free.
That is great. I love the interest-free stuff. And the IDA, no one does it better, 10 of Islip IDA, I'll tell you that much. And you can find all of this, by the way, on the Islip website, ladies and gentlemen.
Real easy.
And the town, of course, is led by one of the best in the business, the fine lady I'm talking to right now. Listen, always a pleasure. Always love catching up with you. And continue to do the incredible work you do on a daily basis. I'll tell you this much, folks. Nobody works harder. You know, we got some great supervisors on Long Island, really fantastic. But the woman I'm talking to right now, I mean, really, nobody works harder. Well, Angie Garmendale, I'm telling you, she loves her job. She loves her job, which is incredible. I've known her so long. It's just unbelievable.
Can I throw in one more plug, Jay?
Go ahead. Why not?
Just to remind everyone about the census, right now, our rate of response is 66.6. I know Supervisor Schaefer and Town of Babylon, he's at 65.3, so we're going to do a little competition between the two towns, but we want to get those numbers up. It is so important for everyone to register, because that's what funding is based on. When we talk about grants and we talk about, you know, getting money from the federal government, it's all based on your population. So if we're not registered, you know, it's really, really going to hurt us down the line. So please, please urge everyone to fill out that census form. And on a lighter note, Monday night drive-in movies have been a tremendous hit. We have, on average, about 200 cars. It's sponsored by Good Samaritan Hospital from Catholic Health Services. Again, that's free. The people love it. So see you at the movies on Monday.
Another great thing you guys got going. You make a great point on the census. The reason why you get all this funding and stuff, you know, regarding the jobs and the loans and everything else is because of the census. The more that they can determine that you folks are around and living, as far as the great township is concerned, well, guess what? That's how those subsidies are in place. So please fill out that census. It is so important. And again, go to that great website at the Town of Islip. Ange, we'll talk soon. You stay well now, okay?
Oh, fine. You
great,
too.
Great
stuff. You safe.
You too, my dear. That's the great and lovely Angie Compton. I've known her a long time. I tell you, one of the best. She really is.